With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Turn in your Bibles with me to Jeremiah, and we're going to minister this morning the Word of God. Everybody say the Word. All right, thank you, Lord. We'll go to John 6:63 first. I need you to hear this. Turn to John chapter 6. Praise the Lord. I want you to put this phrase on your lips. We talked about it this morning in discipleship and foundation class. Delivery system. Say delivery system. God so much wants to get His life inside of you that He has a bazillion different ways to get it in you. It's a delivery system. Whether it's the anointing through praise and worship, whether it's through the Word, whether it's through proclamation, tongues and interpretation, laying on of hands, repentance, God has a bazillion ways to get His life inside of you. And that's what He wants. And so, man, I'm just as hungry for the run and the jump and the shout and the rolling about and the jumping pews and all that. I want that, man. But I also know there's another delivery system that's the Word of God. John 6, verse 63 says that the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and they are full of life. That word life is eternal life, Zoe, the very life and the nature of God. Just like when you read the Word of God, it becomes bread for your spirit. Come on. It becomes bread, the bread of life, and it nourishes your body. The anointed Word of God through proclamation does the same. It promotes and it imparts the same thing that happens during worship. It promotes and it imparts the same thing that you get during prayer. Because there's only one Spirit. But it's a delivery system. And so we're going to receive from that delivery system this morning the life and the nature of God. Amen? So open up the mouths of your spirit. What do you mean? Don't put any resistance up there. I've prayed and the words that I speak are going to be spirit and they're going to be life. I may throw in an occasional thing in there that maybe might not be God. But overall, you're going to get the Word of God. Amen? And it is going to nourish your spirit, which will cause life in your natural body, which will transform your mind if you allow it to govern you. Now let's turn, please, to Jeremiah. Praise the Lord. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now listen to this. Then you will call on me and I will come. Pray to me and I will listen to you and you will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you. Everybody say that. God says, I know the plans I have for you. He knows the plans He has for me. Now here's what's, and it's very hard for our mind to grasp that God knows the plans He has for us. Because we tend to interpret everything by time. We tend to interpret everything based in some sequence of events. When God doesn't have to do that because He can go right to the point in time He wants to, whenever He wants to, because He's not limited by time. Amen? So God knows what He has planned for you. Now, just because He knows doesn't mean He had everything that you've been through planned for you. No, you're the one that went out and stuck that needle in your arm. You're the one that went out and got drunk and went behind the wheel. You're the one that said, I'm just going to throw all, cast out all restraint, and I'm just going to... You're the one that did that. That wasn't God's plan for you, and you know it wasn't, because while you were doing it, God was trying to talk to you, and you had a pillow over his head, and he was going, womp, 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 trying to tell you, don't do it. But God looked through time and he said, well, now he's done that. So now he goes through time. Okay, now this is where I can bless him. This is where I can fix it. This is where I can straighten that out. Remember, he's the one who takes the crippled and makes them walk. He's the one that causes the blind to see. He's the one that makes deaf ears hear. He's the one that takes crooked things and makes them straight. He's the one that takes the mountains that you put in before you on your pathway, and he'll level them and cause them to be like a highway for you, the Word of God says. So no matter how many times you've messed up, no matter how many times you've rolled over and given up, no matter how many times you said, I can't, I won't, God has a way of looking ahead and preparing something for you. God's plans don't change. He said, I am the Lord God, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he didn't look at you and say, well, I'm planning to use him in this fashion, in this way, in his future. Oh, but now he's really messed it up. He can't do it anymore. No, he still plans to use you in that fashion. God has a way of causing what seems to be impossible to come to pass. Amen? If everything were limited by natural laws, we would be a doomed people. Because if the only laws that we were subjected to were natural laws, we would probably all be dead. Here's a natural law for you. The penalty of sin is death. That's not a spiritual law, that's a natural law. Here's a natural law for you. As long as the earth remains, there'll be seed, time, and harvest. I paraphrased that and made it shorter. Those are natural laws. That means whatever you plant is what you're going to reap. Well, thank God I'm not reaping everything I planted. Thank God there's a law that's higher than that. It's called mercy. If I reaped every seed that I sowed, then I, woe, as Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, woe would be me. Come on, because you know you plant some seeds you don't want to reap. And if you're aware of it, then repentance, what does it do? It rips that thing out of the ground and destroys it. Thank God. But you know there are seeds that you have sown you don't even know you sowed? I'm serious. There are things that you put into your life that God never intended. Come on. And you went out and you grabbed a hold of that seed and you cherished it and you rubbed on it. And then you stuck it in the ground and you said, praise the Lord. You didn't even know you did it. See, grace gives you the things that you don't deserve. Everybody say grace. Thank God for his grace, because I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be stewarding the vision of this campus. I don't deserve to have God use me in the way he does. Thank God for his grace. But thank God for his mercy, because mercy withholds the things that I do deserve. And I'm going to tap into his grace, and I'm going to tap into his mercy every day, and I am never going to get high-minded and say it is because of my ability that I've gotten to this place. Come on. Man, even if I look in my past and I see how God promoted me, wherever I went, he promoted me. And I'm looking at that and I used to think it was me. It was the favor of God upon my life that blessed the companies that I was in. It wasn't me. Sure, I did things, but it was his favor. And just as God promoted me in places I wasn't supposed to be in. I was supposed to be in Bible school. I was supposed to be on the mission field. I was supposed to be preaching across the United States in my 20s. But instead, I was out gallivanting doing things that should not be done. Thank God I don't have to reap the harvest from those seeds. There came a point in my life when I knew it was a decision. I was going to do what God called me to do, or I wasn't going to do what God called me to do. And it was a season where I knew it was strong.
And I said at 29 years old, God, I've messed it up so bad, there's no way you can get me to where you want me to be. You know, God, I'm a lot like God. Don't tell me I can't do something. Because that's the nature of God. God, if somebody tells me I can't do it, first I'm going to make sure it's okay with God, and then I'm going to do it. That's like an invitation. And you tell God he can't do something, he's going to do it. He'll go around 1,000 people. He'll go around over a whole nation just to get to you, to bring you where you're supposed to be. Yeah. Even if you're tired, he'll get you there. God has a way to do it. It's called the miraculous. It's called the supernatural. Yeah, but I'm too old and I'm too worn out and I'm too this and I'm too that and I did this too many times and I built another reputation for me in another place. So what? God can use you right where you're at. You don't have to go somewhere else. He'll use you right where you are at, and he'll start from this point on and begin to make an incredible difference in your life. Why? Because he had plans for you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's just get this deep down in our head, because it's in our spirit, right? Ephesians, it's in the New Testament, right after the book of Galatians. Chapter 2. Verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, God's craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here's I just want to help you. You're not going to catch God off guard. Your behavior and your conduct didn't catch him off guard. And you know, when you finally came to your senses and you said, God, I need to talk to you, you weren't informing him that you had sinned. He knew it. You were saying, I was wrong, you were right. And before you did that, guess what? Jesus went to the cross. He prepared a good work for you to do. It was called confession and repentance. That was prepared before you sinned. Just as God prepared confession and repentance through the Lord Jesus Christ for you, come on, he prepared good things for you to do throughout the entirety of your life so that you can enter into the good works, the excellent things that God has prepared for you in advance. I know some of you have heard me say this before, but we've got 6 little ones and not all of them believe in the Easter Bunny. But some of them do. And so we put out Easter eggs and I don't care what you think, don't judge my house. We teach them about Jesus. We take those Easter eggs and we stuff them full of candy and we put little toys around the house. And I take little cotton swabs and I'll peel off a little bit like the bunny lost some of its fur and put that around, you know. I plant... Sometimes I take chocolate chips and tell them they're bunny turds and they're okay to eat. See, I told you, not everything I say is going to be of God. But I do that, and I just create a trail, you know, and I just, little grass pieces. I have fun with it. But see, I have fun the night before doing all of that. I mean, I just don't throw the eggs, dump them behind the couch, you know. I think of the hardest place, you know, one way up here, one way down there. Oh, this would be a good one. Joy, she's 2. She'll be able to see this one. And then I'll make other ones difficult for like Crystal and Caleb, you know, the older ones. And I think, okay, now when she gets over here, she'll see this one. And if she turns right, she'll see that one, you know. And then if the bigger kids come out and then there's the easy ones out there, I'll say, hey, no, you don't, leave that one for Joy. Why? Because I prepared in advance for Joy to get joy by finding that. And if she doesn't find it, guess what Daddy's going to do? I'm going to say, hey, Joy, come over here, look over here, look over there. Because I'm going to help her find the things that I prepared in advance for her to do, to find. Now, it's for, as the Bible says, it's for your enjoyment, for her enjoyment. Now, I get joy out of watching her get joy. That's why we call her Joy. I get joy out of watching the kids find the things that I prepared in advance, that Nija and I put together, or she put them together, and then I do the fun part, I get to hide them. You know what I'm talking about? That's the way God looks at you, whether you're 70 years old or you're 7 years old. He has prepared good works for you to do. And he's not going to keep it hidden from you. He is going to show you how to find them. I'll tell you here's an eye-opener. I remember a couple years ago up in Ankeny that the kids were out and it was July. And they found an Easter egg that we had planted outside. And they ate it and they were happy and they were excited. And it says, God's got Easter eggs for you all over the place, man. You just may not have found it yet. If you'll ask him, he'll show you where it is. The gifts and the calling of God are without what? That means he doesn't take them back. He's not going to take them back. If he called you to do something, then he's still calling you to do it. Sure, there's some things that you may have to clean up and get out of the way, and God will help you do that. He'll show you how to do it. Sure, you may have messed things up before, but that Easter egg is still there. That gift, that calling, that anointing is still there. You know, we're going to come into a time here when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Easter, where we celebrate him rising from the dead. You know, we just got to let the vision inside of us get resurrected. There is nothing that you have done that is so big the blood of Jesus can't wash it away. There is nothing so bad that you have, something that you have gone through and built for yourself, some kind of record of your past, that God, and that's the only one that matters, chooses to remember it no longer. And do you realize if he prepared these good works in advance for you? I know the plans I have for you now. They're plans for hope and a future, not despair and gloom and agony. For hope and a future, not coming to a quick and sudden end. Then God will get you there if you will follow him. Well, it seems impossible. Then it's probably God. I don't know how I'd ever do that at this point in my life. Then it's probably God. Well, I had dreams when I was young. Well, come on now. Don't let Satan kill that thing. It may be a different path than where you started from. But the treasure is still there. Come on. God can do anything through you that you will allow yourself to receive and believe. Of course, the origin has to be from him, because he went in advance and planted these things, right? He went in advance and he prepared. So you got off the path, but do you realize there's still that same intersection point where the provision is coming to you? We talked about this last week, I think it was. Moses takes out from Midian and he's going back to Egypt. And God said, I will send Aaron. He didn't say, take Aaron with you. He said, I will send Aaron. Well, Aaron was a slave. Somehow God freed Aaron from being a slave in Egypt and allowed him to come out in the middle of the desert and to cross paths with his brother Moses, who he hadn't seen for 80 years. Come on. And he allowed them to meet so that the two of them could go into the courts of Pharaoh. And that divine intersection would have still been there. And the divine intersection for the things that you have need of, the training that you have need of, the anointing that you have need of, the discipleship that you have need of, come on, the platform that you have need of, whatever it is still there. Now, if Moses would have been delayed, God would have just shifted that, because he goes in advance. He wouldn't say, oh, shoot, I forgot, Moses was on his way. Because he doesn't think sequentially like we do. He knows what he has planned for you in advance. Oh, I should have let Aaron's master let him go 2 weeks ago. That's not God. He has an ability that just is so, it exceeds ours to the point it's almost unfathomable. But he'll reveal these things to you by your spirit. Listen. How many of you are alive? Can you raise your hand, please? I'm not sure. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. How many of you know God knew that you were going to be living in 2014? Huh? Did you know that? Huh? The Word of God says that he has exact places and seasons that where you're living, those kind of things, right? You're in it, man. You don't have to get there. You're there. Because he's changing your future. Come on. He's changing your future as you go through your present. I need to say that again. Because somebody's thick head did not get that. He's changing your future as you go through your present. Stop thinking like a mere mortal man when it comes to the gifts and the callings and the things that God has prepared for you. It is not, okay, I missed it in 1989, therefore it's past. No, he is changing your future, come on, as you go through your present. What is he doing? He's changing those divine intersection points. I know the plans I have for you. Plans. You have hope and you have a future bright where you call on me and I hear you, where you seek me and you find me, where things aren't hidden. Let's put that in there. Things are revealed. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son, even though God said, listen very carefully, God said the promise is going to come through Isaac. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son on the altar, even though the promises that God gave were to come through that boy. Abraham didn't know how it was going to happen, but he was told to sacrifice. So he takes the boy up the mountain. Come on now. And the boy's got, he's got lumber on his back and he's carrying a fire pot and his daddy's got the knife on the side and he's going up and his son says, Daddy, I see the knife, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said the only thing he knew how to say. He said, God will provide. Matter of fact, when they left and the servant said, he said, we're going up on the mountain to worship. That's what he said. He said, me and the boy, we're going to return. The Lord himself will provide a lamb. He spoke out of his, what he saw inside of his spirit. He spoke out of his spirit about something he didn't understand. The reason I know he didn't understand, because he gets up on top of the mountain. He didn't say, hey boy, here's what's going to happen. God's going to push this ram through the bushes. He said, God will provide. He couldn't articulate it, but it didn't stop him from going. Now, how many of you know going up that mountain? Come on now. Talking about intersecting points. Going up that mountain, Abraham was 80 years old. He might have had to sit down and take a breather. I mean, you know, going up that mountain, Isaac might have lost the wood once or twice and they would have had to stop. Come on, are you hearing me? Maybe he didn't get the load adjusted right and it fell off his back and so they had to stop. Maybe it took 10, 15 minutes. They're going up the mountain. You understand, their pathway up the mountain, maybe they were going this way and that way and but God had a certain point that they were supposed to go to. The point that I'll show you. I mean, you know, they didn't get up there probably just exactly like if you would Google map it. And say it would take you 17 minutes to get up that mountain at a walking pace. I mean, you know, it might have taken 2 hours for them to get up there. 3 hours to get up there. It may have taken quite a bit to get you to this point in your life. But God's not done. There's an intersecting point where provision is there, where the anointing is there, where friends are there. Come on. Where a companion is there. Come on. There's an intersecting point in your life where the wealth that you need to do what God has called you to do, the people that you need that God has called you to do, they're everything that you have need of, the provision, he's already gone ahead. Now listen, he is changing that intersection point for you. Because our conduct is not always perfect. Our listening skills don't always line up with our walking it out skills. And God knows that. You're not going to catch God by surprise. Are you hearing me? He knows where you're at right now. You don't even have to have your iPhone on you. He knows where you're at. He's got a tracking system, a beacon himself on the inside of you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows your thoughts. He knows what's slowing you down. He knows what's speeding you up. And he's changing things for your good if you'll access it by faith. How many of you know I could put on Siri, I could put on a GPS and in my car, and I could drive, but if I'm not making course alterations on the way according to what Siri says or that GPS thingamabobber in the car says, then, you know, I'm not going to get to the point it's trying to lead me to. So we have to make changes in the path that we are taking, not just to please God, but to line up with the provision and the good works and the hope and the future that He's prepared in advance for us. Am I boring you yet? That's why it's so important for the body of Christ to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God and to cause that to be governed by the Word of God. All right. So Abraham's coming up the mountain. They just took a break. They just spent 15 minutes picking up the lumber, let's say, and they're on their way, and they start going east, and God says, no, I just want you to go west a little bit. See that place that looks like a good spot up there? The whole time they're doing that, do you realize what happened to Abraham when he got up on the mountain? He got the boy up on the stack of wood. He had him tied up. He's getting ready to stab him. He's getting ready to kill the boy and to gut him so he could burn him up for the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he reckoned inside himself, we find in the book of Hebrews, he reckoned, okay, if worse comes to worse, God could raise him from the dead because the promise is going to come through him. This absolutely makes no sense to me. So the only way I can reconcile my actions for what God told me to do, because I know that I know that I know that it was God, is that he's going to raise the boy from the dead. Well, that wasn't God's plan, but it was enough to get him to go. So he's got his knife above his head. He's just starting the downward motion. And God says, stop! Don't hurt the boy. Look behind you. There's a ram caught in the bushes. Well, I didn't see that ram because he wasn't there a minute ago. Oh, there he is. How did he get there? You know, I want you to, I'm trying to help you. Don't think that God said, kazamabam. And all of a sudden, there was a ram there. He said, kazamabam. And all of a sudden, there was a ewe there. No, tramadol, it wasn't a ewe. It was a kazamabam. It was a ram. That's not how God did it. God did it through the natural laws that He put in place. Just as He leads you by His Spirit, you understand, ministering angels are what? Sent here to serve those who, come on, will inherit salvation. Ministering angels hearken to the voice of God's Word. As soon as they heard Abraham say, we're going up on the mountain and God Himself will provide a lamb, bam, an angel was put into motion, into action. He was given a job. Get a ram up there for the boy. Come on. And when Isaac asked him, Daddy, where is the sacrifice? Right there. A demon could have been put in place to cause that provision, to hinder that provision. Come on. By the confession of his mouth. Or an angel could have been put in place to bring that provision to the intersecting point. And he said, God Himself will provide. Bam! Another angel. So what are they doing? They're pushing that ram up the mountain. That poor ram, he's just down there drinking water at the base of the mountain when Abraham took off. But as soon as he said, God will provide, that angel said, boy, get your neck out of that water. Let's go. They were heading down the wrong way, and that other confession, and he says, no, we're going this way. We're going this way. That's how faith and God's ability works. As the abundance of your heart rises up out of your mouth, you release commands and you make demands on the kingdom of God to cause the provision. And as you're listening now, as you're listening to the Holy Ghost, because you got the internal guidance system right here. As you're listening to the Holy Ghost, you got the Word of God, the sure Word of God right there. You saw it. You believed it. Now you're getting the leading here. Come on. You've got to listen to that so those intersecting points line up. So the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do can come to pass in your life. God is not withholding good things from you. The Bible says He's a liberal giver, that He gives without finding fault. He's such a liberal giver, guys, he doesn't give when you ask. The night before, he made a fool of himself, putting little eggs filled with candy, filled with anointing, little signs of a miracle, little cotton ball shred right there. Come on. He did that for you so he could see the joy when you see his word come to pass in your life. Because that brings him joy. That completes him. That satisfies him, guys. So that what's at work here? What's at work is the listening. You hear. You believe. You receive. You confess. You listen. You're navigated. Your words that come out by faith begin to cause other things to get into line. Command supernatural powers and ability that God put in His kingdom to bring about salvation for you and to serve you so that you can get to that place of the intersection of miracles in your life. Man, I am so expecting miracles. Every time I open the door, I'm expecting a miracle. Every time I get a phone call, I'm expecting a miracle. Come on. Every time I meet somebody new, I'm expecting a miracle. Why? Because that's the way God is. And it doesn't matter how far off the path you've gotten. The navigation system's still the same. The angels are moving around like this, just waiting for something to do. I wish you'd tell me what to do. I wish something come out of his mouth that could put me into action. I see that ram over there. I'd like to give him a nudge. Can't. The navigation system is still the same. The kingdom of God is still the same. God prepared in advance. Don't think of in advance like you and I think of last night. Think of it as God, because he entered into his rest, but he has the ability to come out of there, and he does. Come into time. Make some adjustments just in the nick of time before the kids start to wake up so you can come back and watch and look. That brings him joy. That brings him satisfaction. So here's the question, because it seems to be the theme of the morning. What has God called you to do? What has God spoken to you about in the intimate times of prayer and worship, and you've seen inside of your spirit regarding you, your family, your children, your aunt, your uncle, how God was going to use you, how God is going to use you. And yes, you've gotten off the path. Yes, you dropped the logs once or twice. Yes, you had to sit down and take a rest. Yes, you got tired. But God is preparing your future as you go through your present. So when I get done preaching this message, I'm expecting a miracle. Come on. I'm taking Katie out with the family to a place for her birthday dinner. It's her birthday today. And I'm expecting a miracle. Tomorrow when I get here and when I meet with the city tomorrow regarding things on the campus, which we do quite frequently, praise the Lord, I'm expecting a miracle. Bless God. God's full of miracles. God's bringing people to do things we don't even know we need done yet. Right? Come on. God's putting people, things in our path for things we don't even know that we're called to yet. God knows what you have need of before you pray. So before you even thought about it, come on. The heart of God, the mind of God, the Spirit of God went ahead and prepared for you good things to do, all of the things that you'll need to complete whatever it is, and it's going to bring you satisfaction because before you were formed in your mama's womb, He knew you and He made you so that when you do the good works that He prepared for you to do, they will complete you. Seek first the kingdom of God and He will give you all of these things. Seek the kingdom of God, His righteousness. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Guys, listen. Here's where most of you missed it. This is where I missed it. I thought I knew the desires of my heart. No, I knew the desires of my soul. And when I started walking into things that God told me to walk in, that God shared with me when I was 8 years old, and I saw it when I was six, some of the things. When I walk in those things, it completes me like nothing Nothing can compare. Not wealth, not fame, not prestige. No, it just doesn't. Come on. The desires of your heart are something that God put in you before He knew you, before He formed you and fashioned you in your mother's womb, before He put the flesh on your spirit. Come on. Before He started wrapping that flesh around your spirit, He put inside of your spirit desires for greatness. Some of us just to serve. Some of us to preach. Some of us to teach. Some of us to proclaim. Some of us to lead in government. Some of us to lead in industries. Some of us to be the best at what we do as a witness and a testimony. But He put it in you before He started wrapping the flesh around your little spirit. And He's changing things right now. These words are spirit in their life. He's changing things right now to bring it about, to bring it to a place, an intersection to complete you. And this thing, guys, is not about, I'm really trying to expand you this morning, praise the Lord, so I receive it. It's not about a destination. It's about a completion after completion after completion after completion. And from going from glory to glory to glory to glory and constantly increasing in the kingdom of God, increasing in the sureness and the foundation you have with the Lord, increasing in the knowledge that when you seek Him, you find Him. When you pray, He answers and He hears you. Come on. It doesn't have to get weaker, it gets stronger. It doesn't have to get worse, it gets better. It doesn't have to be more crooked, it gets straighter. It doesn't have to be so inconsistent. It becomes a familiar thing for you to have God move in your life. Amen? Let's read this one more time, and we'll close. I just love God, don't you? Wow, I can't believe I only used two scriptures this morning. Jeremiah what? 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Does it sound like you're going backwards? Does it sound like you're going backwards? Does prosper sound like you're going backwards? So why do you look at what God called you to do as if you're going backwards, you numbskull? Come on. If you're going to go backwards serving the Lord, then you know what? Some things are coming off you that shouldn't have been there. And they're going to end up hurting you in the long run. But He will multiply. Don't count it, guys. Do not count it as sacrificial giving. Count it as seed. When I was getting ready to go to Bible school, I had 40 acres. Had a great big house, 5-acre pond out south of here. The Lord says, sell it. Thank God He gave me the revelation. It hurt me. I was like, oh no, not this. I mean, I got deer and I got fish and I got, praise the Lord, I got quail and I got pheasant and I got, oh, this is the life. And He says, sell it. He showed me I can count it as a seed. That means I'm going to get a return on it. Now I know I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right here because I'd be down there mowing all the time. I'd be down there hunting all the time. I'd be down there fishing all the time. I'd be thinking about more filling the traps instead of filling the church. I couldn't see it then. But you know, there's a day coming when pastor's going to have 800 acres. And it's just going to be a little place. I don't have to mow. I'm just going to go there and I'm going to hunt. I'm going to go there and I'm going to pray. I'm going to go there and I'm going to fish. I'm going to go there and I'm going to have little retreats. Take people down there and get them refreshed. Seed. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. Well, I know, it's going forward, guys. It's increase, increase. Not to harm you, not to hurt you, Now, maybe if Pastor Josh were picking up Easter eggs, I might rig one so it'd be like a mouse trap that he opens it up, snaps his fingers. But I would not do that to my children. Wouldn't that be terrible?
Yeah.
Now, I'd laugh if he did it for a minute, too, and then a lot at night. But I would not laugh. I mean, I would not do that to my children. I'm like God, good gifts for my children. Increase you, not to hurt you, not to cause you pain, not to make you suffer. You know, God's got a way to teach you other than suffering. It's called the Word of God. It's called the anointing. Praise the Lord. If you're learning through suffering, then you're not learning through the Word, and you're not learning, come on, through being led by the Holy Ghost. Because when you weren't led by the Holy Ghost, you got out of there into the land of suffer. Thank you for straightening that out. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, then, which is right now, guys, this is a year of Jubilee. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our head. Let's enter into His presence. And praise the Lord. Father, this word was spirit and it is life. Life to our spirit, life to our bones, life to our marrow, and the God kind of life to our thinking. You have plans to prosper each and every person in here. And as you began this service, you revealed that to us. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know anything else to do but to say, I receive it, Lord. I receive your plans. I receive the hope. I receive the future. I receive the good works. I receive the provision. Come on, say that to yourself. I receive it all. And I know and I trust you that it will satisfy me and it will complete me. Breathe fresh again. Across the embers that are in the spirits and the hearts of those that are here this morning. Kick it into a flame, a fire, hungry for you, Jesus. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Recreate again and again a clean heart in us. And we thank you, you'll never take your spirit from us. Precious navigational system that leads us to the point of intersection, miracles, and provision. Amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.